Well, I want to take an opportunity tonight, just before Brother Mickey comes, to introduce our speaker. And again, for most of us, he is not a stranger at all, but Brother Mickey and his family have been serving the Lord in the field of Kenya as missionaries, I believe since 1995, mid-1990s. And we certainly are blessed that they call Cleveland Baptist Church their church home. I have been over there on two separate occasions, and many of you have also been there to visit. And you would have to agree with me that the work that God has used them to do is nothing short of miraculous. And the best part about it is that they're not done dreaming yet, and still have a vision and a plan to move forward, and what else they can do to get the gospel, not just into their community, but literally into that region of the world that they're serving in. And so, Brother Mickey, I've asked him to preach to us tonight. He and his family will be heading back to the field tomorrow. And on Tuesday, Brother and Mrs. Vickerman will be heading back to the field as well. And so we want to take just a moment at the end of the service, give you an opportunity to come by and greet these families and just love on them a little bit and let them know that you'll be praying for them. But I thought it'd be fitting here just before he returned that he would open the Word of God and challenge our church family. So Brother Mickey, you come and you preach God's Word to us tonight. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Pastor Pete. It's always a privilege and honor to stand in this pulpit, and I don't take that lightly. Thank you, church, for your stand and for your love for our family through these years that we've been serving in Africa. We're not serving there by ourselves. We're serving there with you, with many others, and we thank you so much. It's good to see Pastor Folger here tonight. Let me just say publicly, Pastor Folger, thank you. You are a good pastor to us in the good times and the bad times, and we owe you so much, and thank you. And I also like to say publicly, Pastor Pete, you also have my undying loyalty as my pastor, and I'll follow your leadership, and we'll follow your leadership and the leadership of the church, and we thank you so much for how God has brought all of this together. If I could this evening, in the beginning, just give you a few things to pray about for us as we continue the work there in Africa. Just a few short weeks before this short trip that we made here to the States, I was in Burundi and Congo on one of our trips. Spent a little bit of extra time in Burundi to visit a few new churches that have recently been started in that country. Our main church in Burundi, the Grace Gospel Baptist Church in the capital city of Bujumbura, pastored by Pastor Kambi, who, by the way, is supported by this church here, a good, godly man, has a burden for his country and to see other churches started in Burundi. And through the partnership of that church and our church in Kenya, we've been working in a few other areas to see some churches started, and it was my first opportunity to really spend a lot of time in some of these new churches. But now, at this point, there has been four churches that have been started in the country of Burundi, two in the capital city and two in village areas. They're going very well. And as I was visiting those churches and talking to the people, I couldn't help but think that those churches there in Burundi, those churches would be like the great-grandchildren of the Cleveland Baptist Church. And I think that's just a testimony to this church and to your faithfulness and giving through the years to missions and sending missionaries, that you've been able to see fruit like that in different countries of the world. Please continue to pray for that country of Burundi. There's much needs there. As far as we know, we're the only group of independent Baptists that are working in that country, and we are praying greatly that God would send some others into that needy area. In the country of Congo, here in the next, later this year, our prayer is to see another church started in the town of Baraka. Baraka is a town of about 50,000 people. I've been to Baraka probably about a dozen times. We have somewhere around 10 members of our church in Uvira that are from the Baraka area that had to flee because of some of the turmoil, that are back in Baraka now. And they've been meeting together and holding a Bible study, but our prayer and plan is that sometime later this year to be able to actually officially see a church started in that town. It is not an easy area. It is a tough area. It is in the midst of a rebel controlled area. My first time to visit Baraka, probably 8 years ago, was an eye-opener to me, as that night, as I was in a small hotel trying to go to sleep, I heard some blood-curdling screams of a woman screaming, somebody took my baby, somebody took my child. And I walked outside, and it was dark, and there was people mulling around and talking going on, trying to figure out what was happening, and come to realize that somebody had gone into her house while she had stepped outside and took a young child. And they searched the area, and they could not find that baby. And early the next morning, when the sun came up and people began to go about their business, Baraka sits on the shores of Lake Tanganyika. People began to walk down the pass and go down to the lake, and they found the body of that baby, that young child, with its internal organs cut out. And what had happened was somebody involved in satanic worship had taken that child. That's not unheard of in that area. My second time to visit Baraka, as we were getting ready to leave, myself and one of our national pastors from Kenya, we were in a vehicle, a small van-type vehicle, crowded in, and as we were leaving town, we were stopped by soldiers, and the soldiers looked in the vehicle, and of course, it wasn't hard for them to see me. And they called me out of the vehicle, and I came out of the vehicle, and they asked if I had anybody with me, and so the Kenyan got out too, and they said, come with us. We asked the vehicle to stay because, you know, we wanted to get back to where we were going. And they took us into a room and began questioning us, wanting to know why we were in that area, what we were doing, what was our motives, and accusing us of buying gold and running diamonds and that type of thing. And they locked us separately in a room and said, we're just going to leave you here until you admit what you did. Well, obviously, what they were looking for was a bribe. And what we had learned a long time ago is you just have to be more stubborn than they are. And so we just sat there in a room. Every once in a while, somebody would come in and make a threat. And about 8 hours later, they let us go. Well, of course, our ride had left. And when they left, they decided, you know, they just threw our suitcases in the road and went down there. And fortunately, somebody that we knew picked them up and held them for us. But that's the kind of area that is. And it's just an area that greatly needs the gospel. And God's given us the opportunity to minister in that area. If you are interested in learning about the history of some of the things that have happened in that area of the world, in Congo and Burundi and that, there's an excellent book that was written by a man by the name of Jason Stearns called Dancing in the Glory of Monsters. And it's the story of the collapse of the Congo in the Second Great African War, or the Great African War, where over 6 million people were killed in that area. As you're leaving Uvira, where our main church is in Congo, and you travel down that dirt road along Lake Tanganyika to get to Baraka, about a 7-hour trip, about every 2 hours, you'll pass along that dirt road a signboard along the road that talks a little bit about the history of some things that happened in that area. And you'll pass a signboard, and it'll say, on this date in October of 1998, 35,000 people were killed in a genocide. You go down the road another hour or two, and there'll be another sign. On this date in November of 1998, 27,000 people were slaughtered in a genocide. And just keep going down and keep going down. My understanding that there are some children and a family that rides the bus, the Cleveland Baptist Church, from Congo, that come from that area that I'm speaking about. And it's a difficult area, but God has given us the opportunity with our people in Kenya to reach into those areas. And would you pray for us that God would allow us to continue to do that? And thirdly, we do have a young family, a young man and a family in our church in Kenya that are interns in the church that desire to go to the country of South Sudan as missionaries. Brother Peter Koske and his family, they've been waiting to go into that country for several years because South Sudan, although it's the newest country in the world, was in the midst of a terrible civil war. And it's still going on in some aspects, but there's a fledgling peace right now. And our plan is later this year to take another survey trip up into that country to see about the possibility of getting that started. And I know that he would greatly covet your prayers for that and for our church in Kenya as we endeavor to do that. If you could remember those few things for us in prayer as we go back to Kenya, that would be greatly appreciated. In your Bibles this evening, if you'd open to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans, chapter number 1. And I'd ask if you'd put your finger there and hold your place and also turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Romans, chapter 1 and Galatians, chapter number 5. And if we could stand, please, as we read. Galatians, chapter 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, I pray that as we consider this topic this evening of faith, Lord, that you would teach us some things, help us to learn some things through your word. Lord, may we truly be a people of faith, may we be a church of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'd like to speak this morning on, or this evening on that subject of faith, a growing faith. All of us this evening would acknowledge the value of faith in our life. We know the Bible has much to say about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If I can repeat that, a part of that verse where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of verses in the Bible that talk about the need of faith in our life. The religious world often has many sayings about faith. You can see them on bumper stickers and plaques and sayings and books that have been written. Our problem is not that we do not, or is that we question the value of faith. It is the acquiring of this faith that we struggle with so much in our life. Our text this evening in Romans chapter number 1, I believe, holds the key to us having a greater faith. The phrase that we read says, from faith to faith. That's an important phrase there in that verse. That first faith speaks primarily of saving faith. All of us this evening, if we are saved, we are saved by faith. We have put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. It is by faith alone that we're saved, nothing to do with our own good works, but everything with what Jesus Christ has done for us. In that verse that we read in Romans chapter 1, that first word faith there, from faith, that first word faith is talking about that faith that saved us. It says that we are to have faith in God to be saved, but from faith we must move to faith. That second faith that we read there is, I believe, the fruitfulness of faith that we find in our life, or should be in our life. We read in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And part of that fruit of the Spirit is faith. We build on the foundation of the first faith. The first faith is a gift. The second faith is cooperating with God as He grows our life. How do we live by faith? How do we cooperate with God so that our faith can grow? How can we have a more powerful faith? I remind you, we read that verse that the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. We should desire to have more faith in our life, more faith in God. Certainly in these days that we live in the 21st century, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how much more do we need faith? How much more do we need to have that faith that the Bible is talking about? That faith that one day God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to go over this mountain over here, Mount Moriah. And Abraham, I want you to make a sacrifice to me. And Abraham, this sacrifice that you're going to make, I want you to sacrifice your son, Isaac. Abraham didn't understand that. God had never required such a thing like that before. God, I don't understand. What are you doing? Abraham called Isaac, and they packed up the donkey with wood and everything they need, and they took that journey up to Mount Moriah. And sometime along the way, Isaac looked at his dad. He said, Dad, I see the wood. I see the fire. Dad, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said those words, that great prophecy. He said, son, God will provide Himself a lamb. Abraham took Isaac and he put Isaac on that altar. He didn't understand. God, I don't understand. Why do you want me to sacrifice my son? Abraham took that knife, and as he about to sacrifice his son, God said, Abraham, stop. Look over there in the thicket. There's your sacrifice. Abraham didn't understand, but he had faith in God. And church, this evening, we need to come to the realization that there are times that we just don't understand. We don't understand what God is doing. We don't understand why. We don't understand everything that's happened around us. We don't understand, but we do know this, that we serve a God who has saved us by faith, and we are to be faithful to Him in return. From faith to faith. Thirdly, let me say, faith is giving, even when I don't have it. In 1 Kings chapter 17, prophet Elijah was in the midst of a famine. It hadn't rained, and for a while God was feeding Elijah by the ravens, and he was along that brook Cherith and getting that fresh water, but the brook dried up, hadn't rained. Now the prophet needed something to eat, and God said to Elijah, he said, Elijah, go over here. There's a widow over here, the widow of Zarephath. And go over there, and you have her make you some bread and have her give it to you. So he went to see her. She is a widow woman. She had a son. There's a great famine. The Bible tells us that that widow woman only had food for one more meal, and then it was gone. There is nothing growing out in the field to replenish it. There was nothing that she could do. She was about to make that meal, and they'd eat it, and that was it. And the prophet showed up and said, God said for you to feed me. She didn't have, but she gave all she had. She gave it to the prophet, and he ate, and as God said, he replenished that barrel of flour until the famine was over. God has some very clear instructions in his word about finances and about giving. And sometimes we get ourselves in situations and circumstances where we think, you know what, I just don't have it to give. But God's word is still clear. Amen. God still says, listen, you might have all of these things going on in your life, but you are still to give that tithe. You are still to give that offering to missions to show the sincerity of your love. People who have faith have learned to give even when they don't have it to give. Have you grown to that place in your life? Have you grown from faith to faith? Have you gone to that place in your life where you've gone from salvation, where God has saved you and forgiven you of your sins and given you that promise of a home in heaven, and you've begun to grow, and that faith has grown in your life from the saving faith to a living faith? And fourthly, faith is continuing even when we don't feel like it. Have you ever felt just like quitting? Ever felt just like, you know what, it's just not worth it anymore. I just can't go on. I think everybody has those feelings in some way about some things from time to time. We're told the story in the Bible of Moses. Oh, what a great man Moses was. God used him to do so many things. But of course, we know he was the deliverer of Israel out of Egypt. He delivered the nation of Israel out of bondage from Egypt into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. We know the rebellion of the people of Israel. And they did not go into the promised land, and God said, well, you're going to wander in this wilderness for a while. Moses led them, and Moses would always say to God, God, these people, they're a stiff-necked people. God, these people are so stubborn. And they would really, the people of Israel, get on the nerves of Moses. One day, they were in a place where there wasn't any water. Now, Israel, they had seen all that God had done. The miracles, the feeding by the quail, the crossing of the Red Sea, earlier the water from a rock. And they're still complaining and they're still murmuring to Moses. And they're saying, Moses, it's better if you'd have left us in Egypt. You brought us here so we could die in the wilderness. And they're just murmuring and complaining. And Moses just got fed up. And he disobeyed God. And instead of speaking to that rock, He smote the rock twice in clear disobedience to God. And God brought forth the water. But then God said to Moses, Moses, listen, because of your disobedience, you will not go into the promised land. That land that is promised to these people, that someday they will inherit, you will not be part of that because of your disobedience. Imagine that. What did Moses do? Did Moses throw up his arms and say, okay, God, fine, I quit. God, if I'm not going to get part of this blessing, if I'm not going to inherit, if I'm not going to go into the promised land, then why am I serving you? God, if you're not going to give to me what you're going to give to these people, I'll just quit. But that's not what Moses did. Moses kept leading the people. Moses kept following God. Moses kept pointing the people in the direction to where they'd eventually inherit that land. How many times in our life things like that happen? How many times have we seen people, friends, that have grown discouraged, that have said, you know what, I'm fed up with this. I can't go on anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. Life's just not fair. And they stop and they quit. You know, it could happen to you and it could happen to me if we are not truly a people of faith. But see, Moses was a man of faith. And Moses knew that because he had faith in his God, he was going to continue serving God. He was going to persist. He was going to continue, even if he didn't feel like it sometimes. Because that's what faith does. Fifthly, we say faith is thanking God even before we receive the blessing. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, a few chapters before that and after that, we're told about a king in Judah by the name of Jehoshaphat. And at this particular time of this story, there was some armies from the Moabites and Ammonites who had come to try to conquer Judah. They had gone to God and asked God for his help. Evidently, from reading the scripture, this was a massive army. It had to be, because if you read in chapter 17 or 18, you find out that at that time in Judah, King Jehoshaphat himself had an army of almost 1 million men. That's a large army. But yet when this other army and these people, this conglomerate of nations came against them, they fearful and they thought, there's no way that we're going to win this battle. And they implored Jehoshaphat to go before God. And he did. And God said, I'll give you the victory, but this is what you're going to do. Jehoshaphat, I want you to form a choir. I want you to get a choir together of singers. And I want you to put that choir in front of the army. God, you mean behind the army? Because, you know, the soldiers will protect the choir. No, I want the choir to go in front of the army. And as that army, as those choirs, I want them to begin marching. And as they're marching, I want them to sing. And I want them to sing in some of the words of that song that they were to sing was, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Jehoshaphat, I want the people of Judah to thank me for giving them victory even before the victory comes. Amen. Now listen, for our understanding, that's all backwards. All right, let's march behind the army and let's wait until the victory comes and then give thanks for the victory. But they obeyed God, and that's what they did. That choir sang. And as they marched towards that invading army, they saw that God took care of them. It killed them. They were dead. And they learned a lesson that we who are to be a people of faith need to learn. We're to thank God even before we receive a blessing. And sixthly, and finally, faith is trusting God. Even if I don't get what I want. Hebrews chapter number 11, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. Turn over there with me, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read a little bit of Hebrews chapter 11 here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight in armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised up to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting a deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves. All and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You see what that said there? All of these people were people of faith. They followed God. They looked for God. They looked for their deliverer, for their salvation. They were waiting. Listen, they were waiting for Jesus to come. And not one of them saw him come. But they still trusted God. Now we have the fortune of being able to look back at what Jesus did. But in this life that we live by faith, there are times that we're going to go before our Heavenly Father and we're going to ask Him for something. And we won't get what we ask for. There are going to be times when we have a problem in our life and we know that it's only God that can take care of that, and sometimes God won't do it. There's going to be a time in our life when sickness will touch our family. And we'll go before God and we'll beg God and we'll fast and we'll make promises to God and we'll wait upon God, and we don't get what we ask for. There will be times like that. But see, if we're people of faith, we'll keep trusting God anyway. Because we realize that our Heavenly Father knows what's best. His ways are not our ways. We won't have a perfect understanding in this world, but someday we will. How many people who have been saved by faith, they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, somewhere along the path of the Christian life, have not allowed their faith to grow? And it has caused them to stumble and to quit and to not do what they should do and get discouraged and turn their back on the one who has saved them. We, who are God's children, should learn to walk by faith. The Bible is so clear on that. From faith to faith. Have you been saved by faith? If you have not been saved by faith, that's the most important thing. You must trust God. You must trust the finished work of Christ on the cross. But once we have done that, faith doesn't end. That faith that saved us then needs to begin to grow so that we can live by faith and have that fruit of the Spirit that we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer.